Welcome to earnestlycontendingforthefaith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today we're going to be doing our second part in our two-part series that we have called The Resurrection of the Nation of Israel. When we closed out last time, we listed out the different occurrences of the name for Jerusalem throughout scriptures. And at the end of that particular presentation, we said that we would be talking in this session about the enemies of the Jewish people and the enemies of the nation of Israel. Israel is a nation that is surrounded by her enemies, and at best, her friends are fickle and in many cases treacherous. Israel has been double-crossed many times by her so-called friends, including the United States. Several famous instances of the U.S. or the United States double-crossing Israel took place under George Tenet at the CIA. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Zechariah chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. Starting in verse 1, "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment, and his rider with madness. And I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah, and I will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be the strength in the Lord of hosts, their God. And verse 6, in that day will I make the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheath. And they shall devour all the people round about, on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem." That's Zechariah chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. Folks, there has never been a time, even in ancient biblical history, when Israel has been surrounded by so many enemies that seek her destruction. Israel has literally become a cup of trembling and a burdensome stone to all the nations of the world. That Antichrist institution called the United Nations uses much of its time in the condemnation of the nation of Israel, while allowing and condoning Muslim genocide against the nation of Israel. And might I say, Muslim genocide throughout the world. Islam is the most bloody religion in the history of the world. They love death, and the Bible says in John 16 that all of those that love death hate God. They are a false religion. Now, the United Nations has spent one-third of its time either deliberating and arguing about or denouncing Israel because of its hold upon Jerusalem. More than 60,000 individual votes have been cast in the UN against Israel. From 1967 through 1989, out of the 865 resolutions in the Security Council and General Assembly of the United Nations, 526 were against Israel. That, folks, is 61% of the resolutions. What a travesty. So has Jerusalem and Israel become a burdensome stone in the cup and a cup of trembling for the nations. We would have to say that, yes, they have. Little do the nations know that God is using their hatred of the Jew and the nation of Israel to draw them to their own destruction. Israel and Jerusalem have become a cup of trembling and a burdensome stone to those in the United Nations and the world that troubles themselves with it. It is like they cannot put it down. It's like they are possessed of a spirit of the hatred of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel and the Jew. And by the way, they are. And that spirit is a spirit of Antichrist. It will be the so-called Palestinian problem that will lead to the destruction of the nations at Armageddon. Armageddon is the final battle in a series of battles that takes place during the tribulation. We see war in Revelation chapter 6, chapter 9, chapter 12, chapter 16, chapter 17, chapter 19, and chapter 20. So it is obvious that the Battle of Armageddon is not the final battle on the face of the earth. It is no coincidence that the only time that the word spelled exactly as Palestine occurs in our Bibles is in Joel chapter 3, verse 4, where the nations are being drawn to their destruction at Armageddon. The word Palestina is used three times in our Bible, and it is used in relation to judgment of Israel's enemies. Repeat that. The word Palestina is used three times in our Bibles, and it is in relation to the judgment of Israel's enemies. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 14, the entry of God's chosen people into the promised land brings great fear and trembling upon the inhabitants of Palestina. In Isaiah chapter 14, verses 24 through 32, it is used twice in connection with the destruction of the Assyrian, who is the Antichrist. Let's go and read Isaiah chapter 14, verses 24 through 32. The Bible says this in verse 24, "The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purpose, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed it, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? In the year that King Ahaz died was this burden. Rejoice not thou, whole Palestina, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken. For out of the serpent's root shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent's." A reference to the Antichrist there, folks. "And the firstborn of the poor shall feed, and the needy shall lie down in safety. And I will kill thy root with famine, and he shall slay thy remnant. Howl, O gate, cry, O city, thou whole Palestina art dissolved. For there shall come from the north a smoke, and none shall be alone in his appointed times. What shall one then answer the messengers of the nation? That the Lord hath founded Zion, and the poor of his people shall trust in it." That's Isaiah chapter 14, verses 24 through 32, which we have the Antichrist to show up in there. He is the Assyrian, and he's also identified in, I believe it's in Micah chapter 5. So, what does the Bible say about the so-called Palestinians? The bidding of the Bible is that the nations of the world will come into Palestine for their destruction. "Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Since the nation of Israel was reconstituted on May 14, 1948, she has constantly been at war with those warmongering, peace-loving Muslims." What a paradox that is, folks. "Since the official proclamation reestablishing the nation of Israel, she has been involved in 13 major wars and or conflicts. These wars and conflicts included the 1948 War of Independence, the 1956 Egyptian-Suez War, the 1967 Six-Day War, the 1967 through 1970 War of Attrition, the 1973 Yom Kippur War, the 1982 to 85 Lebanon War, the 1988 through 1992 Palestinian Intifada, the 2000 to 2005 Palestinian War, the 2006 Lebanon War, the 2008 through 2009 Operation Cast Lead War, and the 2012 Operation Pillar of Defense War, the 2014 Operation Protective Edge, the 2021 Operation Guardian of the Walls, the 2022 Operation Breaking Dawn, or that was 2022, the 2023 Operation Shield and Arrow, and the 2023 War in Gaza, the 12-day war of June of 2025 with Iran, and currently the war that's ongoing on this day, on May 11, 2026, is Operation Roaring Lion of 2026, and that is the operation that the United States is participating in that they have called Operation Epic Fury. So you can see there has been a pitched battle since the founding of the nation of Israel. There have been wars and rumors of wars. That ought to draw you into Matthew chapter 24. Now, I would remind you that none of those wars were started by any act of war by the nation of Israel. For a secular review of the history of the Arab-Israeli conflict, we recommend the book From Time Immemorial by Joan Peters that was first published in 1984. For a biblical perspective and a broad overview in light of fairly recent events, we recommend Dave Hunt's book, Judgment Day, published in 2005. Folks, I realize we're in 2026, but those books are very, very good, and they address the issues where they need to be addressed at. One of the best and most extensive sites on the internet dealing with the so-called Arab-Israeli conflict is the site that is called the Jewish Virtual Library.org. Actually, it's Jewish Virtual Library.org. This site also has an in-depth review of the ancient and modern history of the nation of Israel. The site has what is probably the most extensive point-by-point rebuttals of the myths promoted by left-wing anti-Semitic media concerning the Arab-Israeli conflict. For some amazing facts concerning the miracles that have taken place in Israel in her wars since the early 1900s, we recommend the video series Against All Odds, Israel Survives. That was put out by a group called American Trademark Pictures. I don't know if that's still available or not, but I've watched that whole series, and it was an amazing thing to watch. Immediately after the proclamation reforming Israel, the nation Israel was attacked on May 15th. Remember, the declaration went forth on May 14th, 1948. And they were attacked on May 15, 1948, by the combined forces of Egypt, Iraq, Jordan, and Syria, with Great Britain playing an active role on behalf of the Arabs throughout the war. I think God judged Great Britain for that. She deserved it. We believe that Britain's actions ultimately led to her downfall as a superpower, as a result of judgment from God. Britain's downfall started on May 23, 1939, when she officially rescinded her commitment to the November 2, 1917 Balfour Declaration by issuing the 1939 McDonnell White Paper. The Balfour Declaration, or sometimes called the Milner Declaration, was a commitment by Britain to establishing a homeland for the Jewish people in so-called Palestine. On September 3, 1939, Britain became involved in the most destructive war in her history, resulting in the breakup of the British Empire following World War II. That, folks, in my humble opinion, was judgment from God. During the 1948 and 1949 War of Independence, the Israeli forces were outnumbered by 660,000 to 140,000. Yet she survived through the divine intervention of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. During the 1948 war, 1% of the Israeli population was killed. That would be roughly equivalent to 3,162,660 American deaths if America fought a war in this year. In the description in December 2012, that was when this first time that I ever wrote this particular series was all the way back in 2012, and here we are 14 years later, and it still applies. Now, in the descriptions that follow, I will not be able to provide a lot of detail because of the sheer magnitude of the conflicts involved. The 1956 Egyptian-Israeli Suez War officially started on October 29, 1956. What ultimately led up to the Israeli involvement in the Suez War was the extended Egyptian blockade of the Tiran Straits to Israeli shipping and the use of the Gaza Strip by the Egyptians as a training base for terrorists that were attacking Israel. Once again, Israel was vastly outnumbered, with the Egyptians having 302,000 troops to Israel's 176,000. Again, a miraculous victory was won through the divine intervention of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The 1956 Suez War was a whole lot more complicated than what it appeared to be. There was much international intrigue involving the British and French, who involved themselves for their own political reasons, including the British for the Suez Canal and the French because of Egyptian interference in France's North African colonies. The Soviet Union was also involved in the intrigue because she was supplying weapons to the Egyptians. Next up, the 1967 Six-Day War started on June 5, 1967 and ended on June 10, 1967. The war was brought about by Egyptian, Jordanian, and Syrian plans to launch a surprise attack upon Israel. Once again, the closing of the Straits of Tiran and the Suez Canal to Israeli shipping was a factor that led to Israeli preparation for war. This war also saw a tremendous numerical advantage by Arab forces, with them having 1,010,000 troops to Israel's 200,000. During the first hours of the war, Israel destroyed 338 Egyptian aircraft and 57 Syrian aircraft. The Arab air forces were aided by pilots from the Pakistan Air Force and by some aircraft from Libya, Algeria, Morocco, Kuwait, and Saudi Arabia to make up for the massive Egyptian and Syrian losses during the first hours of the war. The major Arab combatants in the Six-Day War were Egypt, Syria, Jordan, and Iraq. By the end of the Six-Day War, Israel had taken the Gaza Strip, the Sinai Peninsula, the Golan Heights, and the west bank of the Jordan River, resulting in Israel controlling three times as much territory as she did before the war. Another great victory, might I say. Then we have the 1973 Yom Kippur War, which was initiated by a surprise attack upon the nation of Israel by both Egyptian and Syrian armies on October 6, 1973, the Jewish Day of Atonement. That's the most holy day in Judaism. Now, Kuwaiti, Tunisian, and so-called Palestinian troops also were allied with the Egyptians in the south, with the Iraqis and Jordanians allied with the Syrians in the north. The Egyptians were also supplied with troops, tanks, and aircraft from Algeria, Tunisia, Morocco, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Lebanon, Sudan, Libya, Cuba, North Korea, and the Soviet Union. Once again, the Israelis were outnumbered with 1,210,000 Arabs fighting against 200,000 Israelis. Had it not been for pressure from the United States and the Russians, the Israelis would have destroyed the entire Egyptian Third Army, which was surrounded and cut off. Had it not been for a massive emergency airlift of military supplies from the United States to Israel during the 1973 Yom Kippur War, Israel would have been in great danger of annihilation. During the nights of October 8th and 9th, Golda Meir and Moshe Dayan discussed the use of nuclear weapons and also later with the Israeli cabinet. The night of October 9th, 1973, Golda Meir authorized the assembly of 13 20-kiloton tactical atomic warheads for mounting on Jericho missiles. The nuclear weapons were never used because the tide of the war started shifting in Israel's favor on October 12th, 13th, and 14th. It is also known that during the early part of the war, when it looked like all was lost for Israel, that Golda Meir considered suicide. At the height of the Watergate controversy, even though it was known that Richard Nixon was guilty of many anti-Semitic tirades while he was in the White House, it was his decision to airlift emergency military supplies to Israel that saved the day for Israel. Folks, the heart of the king is in the hands of God. Though the world likes to talk a lot about luck and the fortunes of war, for Israel, it was once again a case of deliverance through the miraculous intervention of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Even with all the wars that Israel has had to face since 1948, there is still much tragedy in her future. We know from Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 and 9, that two-thirds of her people will be destroyed during the wars leading up to and including the tribulation. These wars will include those fought in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 24 through 32, Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39, Daniel chapter 11, verses 36 through 45, Joel chapters 2 and 3, Zechariah chapters 12 through 14, Revelation chapters 6, 9, 12, 16, 17, 19, and 20. Revelation 16, by the way, folks, is Armageddon. There is a misconception about the Battle of Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon is but the final battle in a series of battles. A review of Old Testament and New Testament prophecy will confirm that statement. Daniel 11, verses 36 through 45 indicates there will be a series of battles involving the armies of the Antichrist. You can also add to this mix of worldwide war the events of Isaiah chapter 34, verses 1 through 17. In Isaiah chapter 34, verses 1 through 17, where the Lord Jesus Christ is pictured as coming from Edom with blood-stained garments. There is also much disagreement over the timing of the war in Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39. Some believe the Ezekiel war will take place at or near the beginning of the tribulation, while others believe it will take place during the middle or at the end of the tribulation. Another point that enters into the discussion is Joel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. These verses show that there will be a gathering for judgment around Jerusalem in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. A study of a map will show that Jerusalem is roughly 80 miles due south of the town of Megiddo, which is the location of Armageddon. It is also interesting to note that Megiddo is about 36 miles from Masada. If you believe that Armageddon is the final battle, and you believe that the book of Revelation is written in chronological order, then what do you do with the wars that are fought in Revelation 17, verse 14, Revelation 19, verses 14 through 18, Revelation 20, verses 7 through 9? The events in Joel chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, seem to tie very strongly with the events of Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 11. Many tie the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war to the war in Joel chapter 2 because both mention a northern confederacy. The event described in Daniel chapter 11, verse 44, seems to be tied to the events in Revelation chapter 9, verses 13 through 21, where we see a huge eastern army composed of 200 million men. What all this indicates is that there will be a major conflagration involving numerous battles throughout the land of Israel during the tribulation. It will be the greatest war the world has ever seen. Now, another question arises as to what series of events or war leads Israel to sign the covenant with death and hell that is described in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 15, and also in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Many Bible prophecy students believe that the covenant with Antichrist will involve the land. The so-called land for peace deals blindly pursued by the United States and other Western powers in the Middle East for years are now and always have been under the curse and condemnation of God. God said in Joel chapter 3, verse 2, that he will judge the nations that part his land. Every time that land has been swapped for peace, there have come increasingly greater demands from Satan's Islamic devils for more land from Israel. The objective of Satan's Islamic devils is not peace, but rather the total destruction and annihilation of Israel and the Jewish people. When they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. They say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. There is much more to the picture than I can document here in just these few minutes. While we do not hold to the Calvinistic Gnostic heresy of the sovereignty of God, we do believe that God is absolutely sovereign in the affairs of the nations and in the salvation of individuals. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is a whosoever will salvation for all that come of their own free will, including the Jew and the Gentile. According to Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, and Daniel chapter 4, verse 17, God removeth kings and setteth up kings. God uses nations to judge Israel and the Jewish people, and then he punishes those very nations for having the wrong motivations in dealing with Israel and her people. That God chose the nation of Israel above all other nations and the people of Israel above all peoples is a scriptural fact that cannot be denied. We read that out to you earlier in this presentation. Israel is a chosen nation and the Jews are a chosen people. For that, they have paid a terrible price, both nationally and individually, in the blood of jealousy and revenge. The Bible has this to say in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 8. Verse 6, For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of the bondman from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. That's Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 8. Satan hates Israel, and he motivates individuals and nations to attack her and go after her. There has never been another nation or people like Israel that has been the brunt of continual hate, continual persecution, and continual violence from the moment of their inception even unto today. Today, they are the most hated and most reviled nation and people on the face of the earth. They are surrounded on all sides by nations and peoples who seek their total annihilation and the destruction of their nation. Yet, God promises them a great deliverance. And folks, we read about the promised deliverance in Ezekiel chapters 36 and 37. God has also stated in numerous places in the scripture that Gentile peoples and nations of the earth will serve and bow at the feet of the Jew and the nation of Israel. Jeremiah chapter 51 verses 19 and 20 put it this way. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war, for with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy the kingdoms. In that particular passage of scripture, context says that he is talking about Israel and the Jew. Next up, Joel chapter 3, verse 2. I will also gather all nations, and will bring them into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. That's Joel chapter 3, verse 2. As a little aside here, I want to point out that many believe that the valley of Jehoshaphat is the same as the Kidron Valley, which runs between the Mount of Olives and Temple Mount. It is the place of the Brook Kidron, which drops 4,000 feet on its 20-mile journey to the Dead Sea. Now, continuing on, let us turn to the book of Isaiah, and we're going to read several passages there, and also in the book of Zephaniah, starting in Isaiah chapter 49, verses 22 and 23. The Bible says this, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will lift up mine hands to the Gentiles, and set my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders, and kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. For they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. That's pretty strong, isn't it, folks? The Gentiles are going to be licking up the dust at the feet of the Jews. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 14. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. And again, we see them bowing to the Jewish people. And then we have this in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. That's judgment, folks. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8. Next up, in that same chapter, in Zephaniah 3, verses 19 and 20, we have this. Behold, At that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. Again, that's that comparison between the Jew and the Gentile. Next up, we have Revelation chapter 3, verse 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. That's Revelation chapter 3, verse 9. Now, we have done a particular study where those two verses, one in Revelation 2:9 and the other one in Revelation 3:9, that deal with the Jews that say they are Jews or not. We done a series on that and dealt with those particular issues related to that. Now, God warns the nations in Psalm 105 verse 15 not to touch his anointed. While this verse in Psalm 105:15 is many times used to warn people not to rebel against pastoral authority, it is clearly warning against the abuse of God's people, of which the prophets are but a small part. Its context is the abuse of God's chosen people by the Egyptians. Many independent Baptist pastors would do well to heed God's warning concerning his people. God's people are not to be lorded over, but are to be led as sheep. Need I say that many independent Baptist church members would do well to submit themselves to the authority that God has established in the New Testament church through his pastors. The Bible promises in Isaiah chapter 60 verse 12 that any nation or kingdom that will not serve Israel will be utterly wasted. The Bible also promises in Zechariah chapter 14 verse 12 that there will be a plague that will smite all nations that have fought against Jerusalem. This plague will cause their flesh to consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes will be consumed away in their holes, and their tongue will consume away in their mouth. At the judgment of the nations in Matthew chapter 25 verses 31 through 46, God promises the eternal fires of hell for those who have mistreated the nation of Israel and the Jew. This may well be the judgment in the valley of Jehoshaphat that is prophesied of in Joel chapter 3 verse 2. In Luke 4 verse 18, the Lord Jesus Christ partially quotes Isaiah chapter 61 verses 1 through 3 and then sits down and tells his audience, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Verse 1 of Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." What a promise, folks. And there, that passage of scripture is all about Israel. Make no mistake about it, Israel is bound in the heart of God forever. God said this in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 1 through 3. "And at the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people, Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That's Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 1 through 3. In closing, I want to tell you this. If you want a blessing from supporting Israel, I would encourage you to read the entire 31st chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Hallelujah. Glory to God for the Jew and the nation of Israel. We have a Savior that is a perfect Jew, he who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. I want to thank you for joining us in this series where we discussed, and by the way, proved the resurrection of the nation of Israel.